Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bourbon and a documentary about to come out.
What's the document? I knew the bourbon. What's the documentary on?
Basically you? About my life in the book.
Yeah. About slapping Dolan or what?
Slapping
or Barkley.
No, I ain't going to slap him.
Or Barkley.
I'm going to make him turn his pockets inside out.
Showtime with Coop is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Welcome to a new edition of Showtime with Coop. Insightful BS with my Laker teammates and NBA legend and in the house. Well, in the game today, we got one of the best. You know, Nick, I've always have ultimate respect for all NBA players, especially in the era when I played in the 80s. You know, you had what you call some badasses. You know, the first badasses was Lonnie Shelton
yeah.
in the 70s. You had Wes Unseld back then. You had Paul Silas was considered a badass.
Yeah.
And then you moved to the 80s. And you know what? Players today talk about, oh, he's a badass. Draymond Green is this. But you know what? We got a motherfucker on the show today that is the original badass. And he got a book called The Last Enforcer, which we're going to get into. But this guy here, Charles Oakley, was one of the best. Let me read a couple of his highlights, okay? NBA All-Star, 1994. NBA All-Defensive First Team, 1994. I don't have my glasses on, so check me if I'm wrong. NBA All-Defense, 1998. In 86. Is that 90 or 90, right, Oak?
Yeah.
Charles Oakley, okay. He's a Division II Player of the Year, Division II Rebounding Leader. On the show, Charles Oakley. Oak, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just glad to be in your presence. Hey, I used to watch you lock up them guys, and these guys think they can play defense these days. They don't know. They think.
Oakley, before we get too much into this, I want to talk a little bit. Oakley and I, on the last show, we talked about the Big Three. Great yeah. league, Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league, great league. The one thing I enjoy about going to that, you got Dr. J, you got Oak, you got Rick Mahorn, you got Rick Barry. You got a lot of legendary players. And the one thing any NBA player will tell you is they miss that camaraderie. You know, on the bus rides, in the locker room, preparation. Well, you know what? In the Big Three, we got that. And Oak is one of the best. He got a very good team. They're not one of the best team, but they're a very good team. But they play hard.
Right.
And I always talk about Oak, how he'd be cursing his players out, and he'd get after them. And he got a player, Frank Nitti, and they go head-to-head. And Frank like, hey, Oak, is this Oak? I said, man, are you winning? Are you winning? And you know what? That's what Oak do. He brings that winning mentality. And I just found out, thanks to Oakley, is that we almost into the playoffs. Three companies out the league. So they're kicking the bottom teams out. So
y'all got eliminated by 2 points, though. The 2 points different.
Yeah. So we should have held that team under 40. We let them get more than that. But anyway, my team was a hot mess this year. I loved them. And we had Michael Beasley, Mario Chalmers. And we just couldn't get it done. But I'm telling you on the show right here, oh, go win that because you deserve it. You're a good coach.
But, hey, y'all came on, though. y'all start out, see, in the Big Three, you can't start off with a losing streak.
No.
You know, because as you go on, you find yourself, and that's what y'all did. Your players start gelling, and the last three games, y'all been balling. So I'm sorry you didn't make it, but it's some more work to be done for the Big Three. We got to go to Detroit this week, and then we go there to go to Washington. We're in Washington, we go to London. So my guys, they're trying to get it. Like you say, a lot of these guys never played at structured basketball before, and they have a problem doing structure. And I'm trying to teach them structure and play hard at a consistency. And every possession is a key. You know, it's 25 the first half, 25 the second half. So the more possession you get, the better chance you get to win.
You know, Oak, let's go back a little bit, and I'm not going to go too far back, but two things that your parents told you that you hold true to yourself today. Two things your mom or your grandmother. I grew up with my grandmother.
My grandfather would tell me hard work, respect people, and know what you're doing at all time. And that's why I try to tell my guys, if I'm telling you something, I understand. I don't talk just to be talking. So my grandfather, rest in peace. My mom's still here. She's 88. I'm in Cleveland having a good time with her for the next 3 days.
Your grandfather, though, didn't you get a lot of inspiration from your grandfather and the work ethic and how you transferred that over to a player? And then also as an assistant coach in the NBA, right, with Charlotte?
Yes, for Charlotte, yes.
How was that experience?
You know, Mike's my guy. We've been tight since 85. I was his rook. He took me to the All-Star game, but we connect right away. He was tough-minded. I was tough-minded. But not just being tough-minded, he came to practice, showed up, and showed leadership in practice. And that's what I try to do. I always show leadership with my guys. But playing with him was great for them 3 years. Then I went to, you know, New York, Toronto. But just being around him, demeanor, how he worked, stuff can rub off. But I had all of that. So it was a blessing for me to come in the league, understanding that everything's going to be tough. And I know my life had been tough. So coming from a historic black college, you know, get drafted top 10, that was, like, amazing. But I didn't take that just like, oh, I'm here. I'm just going to – no. My work got harder. And I had that – then coming to the league in the 80s and 90s, you had to understand. You had no concept. You know how to play. Somebody might hit you in your head. So I ain't want to get hit in the head because I know I would have to hit somebody in the back. So, but, no, being with Mike and coaching on his team in Charlotte, it was great. 2 years down there with him, you know, we still tight. And to this day, you know, I go to his golf course in Grove. I take some guys down there. But it's a great being around him. He's a different kind of guy, but you got to know him to be with him. And I do know him.
Football season is about to kick off, and FanDuel is giving you the chance to win all season long. Right now, when you bet on a Super Bowl winner, you can get bonus bets every time they win in the regular season. Pick any team to win the Super Bowl and you'll get bonus bets for every victory. I wonder how many people are going to bet on the Patriots. You can use your bonus bets on spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and start earning bonus bets with America's number one sports book. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts. 21 plus in present and select states. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $50 unless specified otherwise. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
Hey, Oak, did you feel as a young person that you would end up in the NBA? When did the reality set in for you that, you know what, I got a chance to get in there?
Well, you know, like I said, going to a Division II school, it wasn't on my mind going to the NBA, but as I got better from my freshman year to my senior year, people started calling the school, inviting me to All-Star games, to different events and stuff, and I still didn't know. Went to the East-West All-Star game in Kentucky when I was a senior. I played against the best top 20 guys. I still didn't know. But I didn't know until draft night. And they drafted me because they always said, well, you might go second round or fourth round. But I ended in the top 10. So when I got the top 10, I was like, well, I couldn't believe it. But you know what? I know I can work. No matter what situation it is, put me out there, I'm going to work anybody.
Were you a scorer in college?
I'm about 24 and 17. My last year.
You had a jump shot open.
I had a mid-range. But my thing is, when I got to the league, it wasn't about scoring. It was tight. I had Quinn Daly, MJ, Landon Wolbert, David Greenwood, Sidney Green. My thing was just try to do something they wasn't doing. So I was, okay, rebound, play tough, loose ball, and stay focused. So I had to change my game. You know, I was scoring college because I was the biggest guy, and I was, the better guy on the team. But some guys get caught up in that. When you go from college to the NBA, you're going where somebody already at. So you got to see what you can do to help the team. And then, like Beasley on your team, he got drafted in Miami, number 2 pick in the draft. Never got a chance to expose his talent. He was talent, but, some coaches, you got to go by their way or the highway. And that's Pat Riley. He's a control freak. So Beasley won the best score I ever seen left-handed besides Walter Berry in the post.
Showtime with Coop is powered by HelloFresh. Have you ever wanted the convenience of farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonable recipes delivered right to your front door? Well, that's exactly what HelloFresh offers. They make home cooking fun, easy, and affordable. And that's why they are America's number one meal kit. One thing I really appreciate about HelloFresh is the seasonal variety. Now that spring is giving way to summer, the flavor is in full bloom with their chef-crafted recipes. You'll get ripe, seasonal ingredients delivered directly to your door, and these aren't just for dinners. They offer over 100 items and easy lunches and tasty snacks to desserts and pastries, pantry necessities. Everything arrives in one box pre-portioned on your chosen delivery day. HelloFresh is quick and easy. Makes feeding the family a cinch and without a high price tag. Their new, fast, and fresh options are ready in just 15 minutes or less, and it's way quicker than waiting in the line at the grocery store. And the best part? Even if you're not a pro in the kitchen, HelloFresh has got you covered with a foolproof set of recipes. They include pictures, step-by-step instructions. Even someone who can't boil water can figure out how to cook these farm-fresh meals. And it just takes a couple steps, so trust me. What's more, HelloFresh is less expensive than your regular grocery store shopping and a whopping 25% cheaper than takeout. And if you're hosting a get-together, their market has crowd-pleasing appetizer snacks and even more for your next gathering. Before we get back to Coop, I'd like to tell you about our special offer. If you go to HelloFresh.com/Showtime16 and use the code Showtime16, you'll get 16 free meals and free shipping. Yes, you heard that right. 16 free meals. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/Showtime16 and use the promo code Showtime16.
Wait a minute, Coop. You just mentioned about Riley. I mean, come on, you both were coached by Riley. Talk about Pat Riley for a minute, Oak. How is it?
Well, that's what I was going to ask him, Nick. Who's his favorite coach? what did you think about Coach Riley?
Oh, I mean, once I was in New York, they said we're going to get Pat Riley as a coach. So, my thing, when you try to win a championship, Pat Riley, he had a pedigree, won a championship in L.A. So my thing is, you had to take in what he was trying to tell you first 2 or 3 years. And, he real controlling. He understand the game a lot. I think that his weakness is coaching in New York, his adjustment after halftime. But I think that great guy, but he got his ways. He's real controlling. But he worked with the team, but – it's just, you got to know him. But sometimes guy was like, he working too hard. My thing is to win a championship, get where you're trying to go, you have to work. So, he brought a different attitude to New York. He took us to the finals when we lost to Houston in game 7, last 2 possessions of the game. But, you got to give him respect. But you still can say strength and weakness about anybody. That's how life is. That's how we judge as coaches. Look at us. We can judge coaches too.
Well, I think the thing with him, you hit it on the head, is that his work ethic is good, but you got to know when to scale down. And that's what happened to us in 1989. We playing the Pistons, and we get to Detroit. We had one in 87, 88 back-to-back. We were going for a three-peat. We had a full-scale practice the day before a game, and that's when Byron got hurt, and then the ball goes up in the air the next day. Magic pulls his ham. So those are some of I agree, that was one of the wildest weeks. Because he tried to keep his foot on the gas pedal the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I think when you get a veteran team, is that that's something that you just have to, I know them, let me pull back. But again, what you great, his biggest strength is also, I mean, his biggest weakness is also his biggest strength, is that he's always prepared. He always pushes you forward to always do your best. So I enjoyed Coach Riley, but yeah, he did had a lot of weaknesses, but one of them wasn't his dressing. He could dress, couldn't he, Oak?
Oh, he could dress. He had that sideline. Hey, he hold that sideline down. I like his hair to the back, the nice suits. But like I say, I think if he were just from playing with him and seeing what everybody else saying about him, I think the work he tried to make you more tired to get your rest so you can go out and, you know, have fun. That's why he did the way he practiced and understand his style. But sometimes, like I said, it ain't always about just work. You got to know details too. But like I said, you know, he had a great career. He was a player and a coach. And probably won, what, 6-7 rings altogether, Miami, when he played and with the Lakers. So, hey, you got to give him his flowers too, though. But, you know, you still can be talked about because you get flowers.
Oh, you really think he wore you out so you couldn't go out?
No, I didn't have a problem with this. I mean, my thing is I'm always in shape. So my thing is, I never complain about work.
Yeah.
So that's not me. Other guys did. We shouldn't go. We may take a 6-hour flight to Seattle, then we get off the plane and practice 2 hours later. I was built for that. A lot of guys wasn't. So sometimes you can break other guys down that we need late on. So, I mean, that's what he did. So, hey, you signed the contract, you got to go with the play.
Yeah, I heard that. Who were some of your favorite coaches? Give me two of your favorite coaches.
My favorite coach of all was Butch Carter.
Why?
Because he knew how to deal with the players. Great, great preparation. One of the best X and O guys I've been around.
Butch might not
be the fly, you know, the Pat Riley, Jeff Van Gundy, the name. But for the 1 year I was understanding with him in Toronto, he showed Vince how to play. He showed Tracy how to be a pro. And, you know, some people overlooked that. But Butch could really coach, but he messed his own stuff up. He tried to be greedy. He tried to be the president, coach, and all that. And it backfired on him. So, like I said, you can talk good about a person. You got to tell his weakness, too. But Butch could really coach. I mean, Pat Riley, you got to get, like I said, you know, he came there with rings and went to Miami, got rings. Jeff was, you know, one of them coaches, you know, came under Pat Riley. So he has some of Pat Riley's style with his coaching. Paul Snyder was just, you know, one of them guys that he said was a player coach that some player coaches don't translate in the league. Don Nelson was just one of them guys, you know, a black guy with a coaching job, you know, just a real lightweight guy. Rick Pitino was tough. He was good, you know, he wanted to run and shoot. You know, I think, you know, New York, you know, they wanted a little more half-court stuff, but he was a run and shoot coach. But, you know, my thing with players and coaches, don't get involved with them. Do your job, because coach is going to get fired before players get traded. I don't get called up into it like he playing this guy, that guy. If you whooping this guy butt in practice, coach is going to know.
Yep, I heard that. Listen, it's Showtime with Coop. We got today Charles Barkley in the house.
Charles Barkley. Oh, boy.
We got Charles Barkley in the house. I'm getting ready. Hey,
you made everything go wrong when you said Charles Barkley. Man, that's a bad name to say.
Oh, that's a bad the reason name why I said his name because
we wait a minute.
Intro, we get
there we
man.
Go.
See, we get ready to go.
Listen, we get ready to go into that my wife called Coop Lightning Round. I'm gonna give you five names, and you tell me as much or little about these names.
Guess one of the names.
One. Charles Barkley.
Yeah,
that's the first one.
Yeah.
undersized, great player. You know, in our area, he really, you know, he's a superstar. My thing, as a person, I think he talked too much, and he talked now. He didn't talk when we played back in the 80s and 90s. He talked now because they're free to talk. Because back then, if he would have been talking, somebody would hit him in the head, like I did in the lockout.
Next one, Larry Bird.
Larry Bird. He was just a smooth operator. I mean, every time you go into Boston Garden early, he in there shooting. He always working on his game. Never said too much nothing to me because they know if you talk to me, you're going to pay a toll. So Larry Bray was a good guy.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, It's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Next one, Artis Gilmore.
Artis Gilmore, just want to shake your hand and smile. Tall 7-footer. I mean, I played with him in Chicago. He was a good guy. He was just a dominant center inside.
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson, smooth operator, 6'9 point guard, never saw before. Guy who won championship, MVP as a rookie year, won the championship. And translate his whole life into a global market. So you got to give him his flowers.
And last but not least, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, they say he's a GOAT. You know, I've played with him. I've been around him. He just got swag. And, you know, what he did in practice impressed me, not just in games. I tell everybody, I see it in practice. So the game comes. A lot of people always tell everybody, when you practice a certain way in the game, it comes easy. And he was that type of guy.
Oh, who's a player that you hated to play against? You hated to play against. So my guy was Andrew Toney. I hated to play against him.
I didn't
really
hate to play against nobody because I always wanted the challenge because I was the underdog. So whoever they said power forward, I was like, bring them on. Because inside my heart, I know I'm tougher than I might be on paper. So sometimes the paper can fool you. But with me, I didn't matter who I checked every night. It was going to be a hard night.
For them?
For them, no doubt. You know, so if somebody averages 30, they might get 18 or 20. You ain't going to get to 30 points. So I did my job, hold them to 60% of scoring on their points, 70%. So it wasn't a point that I hated nobody. You know, me and Barkley had a run-in. We can always have a run-in. And Isaiah now, you know, crying ass.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Isaiah.
I like the guys, man, because it was a challenge. I came from a Division II school, so I was an underdog. And like I said, they sent no limo to send me to pick me up. They sent a bike. You know, back then, they sent limo to pick guys up. They sent a bike for me. I'm by myself.
All right. Nick, go ahead.
Talk about Isaiah Thomas a little bit. What's going on with
Isaiah? I don't know what happened to Isaiah. I think somebody let him off at the wrong bus stop because he was a talented guy. Probably, I mean, for us back then, John Morant doing and what Kyrie doing, a few of them guys for with the ball, Curry, he had all of that. But seeing like ever since the Dream Team, something happened to him. I don't know what happened. Somebody, you know,
Jordan that's why.
Told him he couldn't play. Bird said he couldn't play. But my thing is, these still players. So when your own coach don't want you, Chuck Daly, your best friend Magic don't want you. Then you blame Michael Jordan, you blame all the other guys. Now him and Karl Malone doing a sit-down interview crying together. Karl Malone, you should never do a sit-down interview, man, because what you have done in your life to other people. So Isaiah, I don't know what's going on. He's trying to reinvent himself at 75 or 65, how old he is, but he need to shut up because Michael Jordan would never speak to you again. He would never speak to Barkley again. So y'all need to go have dinner, let Dennis Rodman be y'all chef. Isaiah and Barkley, and let Dennis Rodman be y'all chef, and you know how that food gonna taste.
speaking about food, I hear you're a great chef, man.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, chop it up, baby.
I love myself in the kitchen. I mean, I'm really good in the kitchen.
What's your favorite dish?
I tell everybody, I'm the favorite because I'm making the dish. So whatever, my thing is, I do a lot of oak experiments. So I go around, get auctioned off to different, like, say if you want to use my name for your foundation, I tell you, you can have 40, 50 people. So basically, is I cook what you like. I cook what the person wants. Meat, side, I got like 10 desserts. Maybe the only thing I control is the dessert. So when anything else, we good to go.
You what can if cook I want dessert too, Oak?
Oh, yeah. Ask Clyde. We did something in Atlanta like 2 weeks ago. Clyde came, Dominique came, Cam Wheeler. It was about 15 of us. So this other guy made the meats. He made oxtail and some wings. So I made all the sides. I made apple pie, collard greens, macaroni and cheese.
You didn't go buy what's her name? Or you make it your
Mrs.
own?
Mrs. T?
Oh, no.
No, Mrs. Smith.
Ask around about me. I'm that one in that kitchen.
I heard that you.
How'd that happen? Oh, does that go back to your when you were a kid?
Hey, anybody play with me or any other people? Like Thanksgiving, Christmas meal, the guys in like New York, Chicago, I just invite the guys over, cook all of that. I do all of that. Barbecue, jerk chickens, whatever.
How do you not fuck up mac and cheese?
Some people do mess it up.
I know they do. Too runny. Yeah.
I got something to, hey, Coop, I'm telling you. Get a group together. I come to your house. 30, 40 people, I'm going to let you see it for yourself. We can tape this.
I'll film it. There you go. All right. We'll film it.
That's listen.
Hey, Coop, that's what we're going to do, okay? Good cook.
Okay.
I'm going to come to your house. Y'all tell me what y'all want. I even go to the grocery store and get the food myself. I don't like people buying the stuff. I like to get it. Tell me what you want. I get it.
Okay. Oh, my favorite dish.
Coop's a good cook.
Is collard greens. Give collard me greens? From start to finish on your collard greens.
How do I make them?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was on the Wendy Williams show, and I did some collard greens with lasagna. So my collard greens, I go get them. I pick them out myself. All collard greens ain't good, but you got to know how to shop. I go get 8 pounds, but I cut them up. Now, first of all, I wash them all. I cut them up. I wash them 3 times with my base. Then I rinse them 3 times. My base to cook them is turkey, some cooking oil, onion, salt and pepper, and jalapeno peppers. I let them cook down about 30 minutes. And then while I'm washing and cleaning them, I let them cook down about 30 minutes. And then I wash and clean them. I get them. I let them, sit so the water can, too much water and greens make them like in a swimming pool. They start swimming. You have to watch how much water you put in the greens, number one.
I put a lot of water. That's why mine tastes bad.
Huh?
I put a lot of water. That's why mine tastes bad.
The greens going to be real like spinach when you get at the end. Yeah. Too much water. So you want them to tighten up a little bit, not too much. So don't use a lot of water unless you're going somewhere on a 4-hour drive or something coming back. That's when you use a lot of water. They'll stay there until you get back. But no, that's why I cook mine about 3 hours. Sometimes corn kind of pot and what kind of stove you have too. You got to watch it.
Do you do private events?
I just did one in New York about 150 people a month ago.
Nice. 150.
Yeah. So they had fried chicken, salmon, meatloaf, string bean, mac and cheese, and I made bread pudding for dessert.
Oh, I love bread pudding. Love bread pudding. I'm terrible at dessert. I used to own restaurants, and I would never. Dessert is like science to me. You can't fuck with the ingredients. You got to kind of follow it. Whereas cooking, you could be a little adventurous.
Hey, Coop, you got to set that up now. Don't forget.
Oh, I'm not going to forget. You're listening to Showtime with Coop, and we got Chef Oakley on the house, and he is going to – I'm going to test him to this.
Okay.
Next segment, and we're going to call it Oak's Quotes. I'm going to read you a quote, and you tell me what went behind that or why that quote became a reality, okay?
Okay.
I'm a trendsetter. I'm a leader, not a follower.
It's just something I've always been. Everybody said in life, find something and stay with it. And I think I always been a leader since I was young. And like I said, my grandfather was always a leader. I watched how he did it. Go to work. He wake up at 4:30 in the morning, go to the field, then go to work. Walk home, walk to work. Then the weekend, he take people to church. He take people to town. So all of that stuff showed that leadership and being consistent.
Don't say I don't want to do this because whatever. Don't give up on something. You got to work hard.
It's just something I just feel like words can change people. Words can move people. And sometimes people like rapping and singing. You like a verse like, oh, I love that. Let me go listen to it again. So I try to set stuff to get people attention too.
This one I love, Oak. I didn't know you said this one. They told me many times throughout my career to bite my tongue. And I told them my tongue's been bleeding since I was born.
Hey, that's a good one there. But now I hear that so much. And, after like college, you hear that so much. And, you got to do this. My thing is always be on time, don't be late. Know what you're doing, know what you're talking about. So I said a lot of stuff over my career, after my career, And everything I hadn't said, I never had to make to apologize or go to do a press conference because I know what I'm saying. So I just try to be consistent.
Do me a favor and don't make me out to be no hero.
Say it again.
Do me a favor and don't make me out to be no hero.
Some people look for attention. I don't look for attention. I try to be a leader. Show people that, hey, you can come from Alabama, you can come from New York, Vegas, L.A., nowhere in life. As long as you understand where you're going, that's the main topic. Know where you're going, know what you can do. And I think that's what I've been on that path all my life. They say you're from Cleveland. They say you're from Alabama. But, you know, I played in New York. I played in Chicago. I played in Canada. I've been to these places. When I got there, when I got traded to Toronto, you know, the money didn't match my stats. But I said, you know what? Ain't enough money to buy me. I'm bringing leadership and toughness and something y'all never had. And that's what I brought to Toronto. So I might accept a 20-point score or whatever. But my thing is, some things offset that. A 20-point score might be soft because he get 25 and the team still lose. When I got to Toronto, and I told him we're going to get better every year. And that's what happened. We didn't go into the finals, but first round of playoffs, second round, I'm saying we built. It was something that they ain't never have. So I bring something, a different demeanor.
I always try to treat people with respect. And I just don't know. I got 3 assault cases for no reason.
Well, that's what I try to do, respect people. When you do wrong with me, I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to let you know what's going on. I just always been like that, Coop. I'm a laid-back guy, but if you push the wrong button, somebody might jump out. It's like a candy machine. When you push the wrong candy, you got to eat it too. So watch out for Oak.
Oak, you're funny, man. 2 more, Oak, okay? Some things don't just walk away. A dog got a broken leg. He ain't just going to walk away. He's going to try to get himself together.
Well, like you said, you know, dog got 4 legs, 1 broke, so he can almost make it some. He can't make it all the way with 3 legs, but he can go about 20 yards. But then he's gonna start barking. So somebody gonna come outside and see the dog needs some help. So, but now sometimes, hey, a dog can be your best friend. I know a lot of people got dogs, so I don't.
You don't like dogs, Oak?
At the point, I don't like them, but I don't have time with them. I be on the go all the time. So if I can't be with you, I don't really want somebody else, you know, doing my dirty work. I like to do my own dirty work, you know. And dog, it's a lot of attention. And like a little kid, you know, you got to be around them because they need attention. Dogs need attention too.
Okay, if you were a dog, if you had to be a dog, what breed would you be?
I don't know. I don't want to be a dog, so I'm not going to get to. I don't know.
Would you be a
pit bull? Everybody got dogs. I don't know. I don't try to get into dogs, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I like dogs. So I'm just glad.
would you be a pit bull or a poodle?
No, I don't. You know, pit bulls, they get kind of, you know, they start biting people. You know, sometimes you can't contain them. So I don't want to be a pit bull.
That's what you were on the court. Oh, they couldn't contain
well,
you.
Well, I mean. I ain't bite nobody.
That is true.
I might have punched somebody, smacked somebody. But that was in the game back then, though. You had to throw them up back then.
Hey, you listen to Showtime with Coop. We got Charles Oakley in the house. A couple more minutes. Nick, anything you got for the Oak Tree?
Yeah, man. I got to ask Oakley, both you guys, now that, you know, 2 legends on here, compare David Stern's NBA to Adam Silver's NBA. Start with those.
So, David Stern was one of them guys. I mean, the highway. He was like Pat Riley in a way for us. He's going to make things happen. He's going to be his way. He's going to be in charge. So, one of his things was before he, you know, got the league that passed away, rest in peace, he was going to take the league global. And that's what he, you know, it's a few years before he left the NBA, that's what it started going that way. And, you know, like when guys get fined, he suspend you and something happened. He didn't ask the question. He just did it. He showed that, like, hey, I'm not listening to you. These are the rules. You got to follow the rules. And something similar, same way with Pat Riley. But he was good. I mean, I know he did some harsh fouls, fined the guy sometimes. And if you look at the new commission, he more laid back, he more the player guy. And I think that as far as money wise, the global market is just it just took off. And for like what he do as stuff happen, I think he's too leaning with them guys. He changed the weed policy. It's okay to smoke weed. The John Morant thing. I think if you would have gave him 30 games the first time, he wouldn't have did it the second time. So I think the commissioners and the owners of the league need to get a little more tougher with these younger players because stuff's going to keep happening. And then now you got too much outlets and stuff can, you know, can make you look bad as a brand. And, you know, go back to what happened in New York. He didn't step up and do nothing to the owner. He didn't suspend him. He didn't fine him. And it was in front of a national televised game. And 20,000 people in the – it could have been a riot. And to this day, I'm still in court with this guy. I don't want to talk too much because, you know, Donald Trump got 37 accounts and they told him don't talk. He should start – he got 59. He's still talking. I only got one. So, it's good for the young generation to come in. But I think the younger people don't respect the guys from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Why is that? What happened?
Because soon you said something about it, y'all hate. It's our turn. You really can't play. You just getting the money because it's there. You know, I think 80% of the league is overpaid right now. I mean, these guys overpaid. I mean, you know, almost 1.5. You know, it's just crazy. The money is there. They got to give them money.
Oh, Jaylen Brown.
I'm not just Jaylen Brown. So when we played, they hid the money. Now they got to bring the money out. So. Jaylen Brown, he's a good player. For a guy to get $300 million, he should be a top 10 player. I don't think he's a top 30 player in the league. I mean, you're going to put him there because he's making the money. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you like Boston, Jaylen Brown, he going to get more next year.
Yep.
Taylor probably get $350. I mean, I think he's a little better shooter.
Yeah.
I think Brown tougher. But – they can't win with two wing guys. You know, it ain't like Steph and Clay.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like Steph and Clay. You know, you got two guys who shoot. Y'all got two guys who barely can, you know, when it's time to make a big bass, a big bucket, y'all shoot threes. You know, step back threes. Go to the rim. So, it's a league. It's a players' league. We're going to see what happens the next 2 years, 3 years. I think LeBron CBA. Get out the league. KD get out the league, and Curry, I don't know how the league going to survive with Brand for his names. John Morant, that's why they gave him a chance, because they want him. They need him down the road, because Zion and Wynn won every game. So they trying to build that next star. And the Europeans are taking over the NBA right now. You look at it.
Europeans, yep. And it seems to me like the NBA has devalued markets to continue to drive star talent. But now they're going to have massive retirements all at once. And their markets are kind of devalued to a degree from all the player bouncing around. And I don't understand. I don't see any other sport where they don't honor their legends, the history of the game. You guys, back in the day, man, when I was a kid, I used to watch the All-Star game. It was full of you guys giving credit to all the Earl Monroe and Frazier and all the guys, we Wilt and Russell. You don't hear that anymore at all. It's almost like it's uncool.
Well, I think it's a lot of that, but it's in-house too. They're doing it too because they don't get guys unless you got a big championship. I hate this. Like every sports team, like if you got a championship ring, they deal with you in the organizations for like the NBA office. Now, like NBA, if you ain't got a ring or da-da-da, they don't – I think it should be a pool, like who named next. But they don't share the wealth with guys who don't have rings or guys who played back in the day. They got about four guys, and they work with them at all times. But they don't bring new guys in. So I want to know who they're going to bring in now since Bill Russell's not here. So, but, I mean, it is – I try not to get caught up in it, but when you're a player – I played 19 years, and they came to Cleveland All-Star 3 years ago. They didn't give me one ticket. I had six events. They didn't give me no help, no T-shirt, no keychains. They had 25 events. They didn't invite me to nothing. Wow. So all they care about is celebrities sitting courtside for a photo for them. They don't care about us, and that's so disrespectful. And I told commission whoever in advance. I called them about what was gonna go on in Cleveland that weekend, and they still didn't show me no kind of love. But I did it anyway. I took the one out of my pocket because, you know, All-Star probably next time in Cleveland, I probably won't be here to see it. I wanted it to be something nice for the people in Cleveland. But they really, they stuck it to me because what happened in New York was something. It was a total turnoff. And I see, when I see the commissioner, I'm going to get my mouth full.
Hope you like the way the league is heading, the way where it's heading.
I mean, I don't know where it's headed. It's just everybody getting a lot of money. You know, like the kid for OKC, wasn't an all-star. He got 50-something million a year. I mean, it's I'm glad they're getting the money, but the money don't match your game, your style. For it's like most guys getting $50-something million, 10, 20, top 20 players in the league, not top 60. But like I said, I'm glad they're getting the money. What leaves head, I don't know. It's just more money coming. They're trying to go out to the Saudi, you know, that's going to be more money. So the money going to be crazy in a minute.
CLNS History is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.